Take your Bibles and go to the book of John. John chapter number 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter number 16 this evening. We'll read verses 12 through 15 responsively. I'll read verse number 12 and you'll join me. Verse number 13. We'll read all the way through verse number 15. John chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 12. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse number 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be a Christian. Lord, there's something about Sundays that I just love. Lord, I get the privilege of being a Sunday school teacher, and maybe that's a little bit of an extra avenue of the Christian life that I get to enjoy, but it just truly is amazing to get to study and to read God's Word. Lord, I love the effect it has on our lives. Lord, this evening we'll read the Word of God as we have, and we'll hear it preached. But Lord, please may our minds be open to the teaching. May we think clearly. Lord, but also may we be yielded to you as the Holy Spirit speaks through the teaching of God's Word and our man of God this evening. Lord, may we please listen. We'll ask that your presence be here yet again this evening as it was this morning. Speak to our hearts. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to have you keep your Bibles open tonight. We're going to use them. We'll come back to this passage as well as hit some others. I talk to people regularly and hear them say they have a hard time reading their Bible. They have a hard time understanding their Bible. First of all, many people are afraid of the Bible because it's not like any other book. You cannot read the Bible like you read a history book. The Bible is not a history book only. It's not a book of events, of what was recorded, of what happened. It's not a combination of philosophies and fiction. The Bible is the living, life-giving words of God. They're ever eternal. That means they are ever present. They are as applicable now as they were when they were given to man. Now, let me start by saying this. God's mind is sinless and endless. Our minds are sinful and finite. Yes, sir. The older we get, the more finite it is. I've lost a lot of things, but I miss my mind the most, you know. Man's mind is sinful and limited. God did not give the Bible through man's thoughts. God did not put thoughts into man's mind, and man took them and wrote them down and gave us the Bible. God gave us his words, word by word, because he didn't want our minds to mess it up. You have to understand, God gave the exact words that man needed. We said this last Sunday. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not every thought, not every idea, every word. Now, I hold in my hands the very words of God. I like calling it the Bible, but I love calling it the Word of God and the words of God. Now, God's mind is far above man's mind. I hear people say, well, I just can't figure God out, preacher. Good. If you could figure God out, you would be as great or greater than he is. You will never understand the depth of God. Look at verse number 12. We were there just a moment ago. John chapter 16, verse number 12. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There are many things that children need taught, but they don't need taught everything in the first 2 years of life. They don't need taught everything in the first 5 years of life. Did you ever notice in school, you start off with the basics? Well, you should. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. not CRT and everything else. You learn basics. You learn phonics. You learn spelling. You learn learn how the numbers work, and you learn how to count, and you learn how to add and subtract, and then you learn how to multiply and divide. Say, why do you start with adding and subtracting? Because multiplication is fast adding. If you look at the multiplication sign, it's a plus sign that fell on its side because it's lazy. It's faster to multiply than it is to add, but you can't multiply till you add. Division is fast subtraction. That's all it is. That's why it's a subtraction sign with two dots over it. It's lazy subtraction. But you have to understand adding and subtracting before you get multiply and divide. Principle upon principle, line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, let me help you with something. Because God's mind is above man's mind, what right do we have to change his words? The question then is asked, how can I learn the Bible? I have given over 41 years of my life to that book right there. I really have. I have given 4 decades of my life to the reading, to the studying, to the teaching and to the preaching and the application of the Word of God in life. It is not a book of facts to memorize. Now, I have a lot of verses in the Bible memorized. I think last time I counted, it was somewhere around 2,600, 2,800, 3,000 verses, something like that. I don't know. I can't keep track of it anymore. I've never set out to memorize the scriptures, but I'm so familiar with them that I began to be able to memorize them because I just keep going over them and over them and over them and over them and over them. It's not a book of facts to memorize. You give me the book of the Bible, I could just about tell you how many chapters is in each book of the 66 books of the Bible. I can tell you where they are, frontwards, backwards, upside down, inside out, upside down. Start in Genesis, go to Revelation, you can point out a book and tell you the books before it, books after it, and got it down. Know where it's at. Say why? Because 41 years of it, this is my work, that's my workbench, that's my toolbox. I'm as familiar with that as my dad is his tools. Dad was in Florida, and I said, Dad, hey, I need a tool. I need this. He said, all right, go to the house, go to the basement. I said, I'm there. He said, good. Turn left, look at this shelf, look over here, reach in this drawer. It's this many drawers down. Be on the right-hand side in that drawer in this color bag. How in the world he can do that, I don't know. But that's the way I am with that book right there. He knows his tools like I'm supposed to know the Bible because these are the tools of life. Now, it's not a book of stories to entertain you, though there are some entertaining stories in the Bible. I love the story of Jael where she takes the tent peg and nails the guy's head to the ground. You know, pow, pow, pow. To me, that's exciting. I love blood, guts, gore, and action. Amen. Especially when some guy hides in a woman's tent and says, hide me and give me warm milk. And they say, if any man is here, say, no, there is none. He said that right. Can I tell you something? It's not just a book of stories. Now, you have on your lap right now or in your hands the ever eternal, life-giving words of God. Amen. Why would God give it to us? And then make it to where you couldn't understand it. Why would he give it to us and make it difficult for us to understand? I love English grammar. I know that's strange. But English grammar is really not hard. Most people complicate English grammar and it's really not that hard. You got to know the 8 parts of speech. You got to recognize the 48 prepositions. You got to understand the adjective, adverb, and noun questions. And past that, virtually everything else takes care of itself. If you know 4 or 5 basic things about English grammar, you can do about 90-95% of anything in English. It's really not that hard. We complicate it with all the exceptions and things, but God gave us his word to make it to be easily understood. But let me say again, you can't study it like you do any other book. This book is not like any other because it's alive. It's living. It applies today. Just like we did this morning with the scriptures in the book of Micah, I preached a sermon that Vonda's grandfather preached 100 years ago, and it's still applicable today in our nation.
Yes, sir.
You have to understand it is the ever-living Word of God. It's not a compilation of man's thoughts. It is the words of God given from the mouth of God to men. Now, God says in John 5:39, search the scriptures. God said we are to search them. We're to study them. 2 Timothy says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice the word dividing. What do you do by dividing? You take something and break it into smaller pieces so that you can digest it and understand it. A big job is a series of small jobs. Most people see a big job and say, I can't do that. I look at it and say, let's break it down. And now I can do this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and get the whole thing done. And that's exactly what you do with the Bible. You take it, you divide it, and that's what preaching is. You take a truth, you hit it from every angle, and come back and get another one. Now, how then do we learn the Bible the way God wants us to learn it? How is it that we learn truth the way God wants us to in order to get what we need for life? And tonight I'm going to unlock that truth for you, and I think it will help you. Now, number one, are you ready? Some of this will be review for some of you. Some of you, this is brand new. But I must do it for all of us because you need to understand the line of thinking here. First of all, we got to understand that God is threefold. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is what, fancy word, big college word, he is a triune God. All right, that means three in one. You have an egg that has a shell, it has a white, and it has a yolk. It's an egg, but it has three parts to it. God is three in one. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Right before the book of Revelation, go to the last book of the Bible and turn back just a couple pages. You'll be there. 1 John chapter 5. And I want to show you something in here. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now watch this. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. That means he was born by water and blood, which is the body. Now watch this. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, notice capital W, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. I want you to know something. God said there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Remember what we said last week in the book of John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, same as in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus.
Amen.
So you have the Father, you have the Word, and you have the Holy Spirit. They are three separate entities, but they are one. Let me try to explain it this way to you. I'm a pastor to you. I am a dad to him, and I'm a husband to her. But I'm a son to him. I'm the same person. I have many different titles. I have many different roles. Just so you know, when I'm home, I'm not pastor. I'm husband to her. She doesn't walk up, oh, thou most holy father. Nobody does that anyway and don't want anybody to. You say, why? Because that's not the relationship at home. We were moving John and Minuet yesterday, and I handed her a frying pan. I said, don't swing that at me. And we were all laughing about it. Just like I'm a pastor, a husband, a dad, a son, I'm all those things in one person. God is the same way, but he has the ability to separate them in different entities. That's where he's different than we. Just like, by the way, there's no way our sinful, finite mind can understand that totally. Say, well, preacher, I just don't understand that. Good, you're not God. There are some things we have to accept, but it's really not as hard to understand as you think it is. Just realize it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. God has that ability to separate them and do different duties, just like I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a pastor, I'm a son, I'm a friend, I'm a fellow preacher to other preachers, etc., etc., etc. We have those abilities, but we wrap it all in one package. God has the ability to separate that package a little bit and work through different venues. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. So, number one, we got to understand that God is threefold. Number two, this is where you really need to listen. If you miss this, you're going to miss the whole truth. God made us human beings in his image being threefold. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Let us make man in our own image. Notice God said our. Why? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were working together. And he said, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created him, both male and female. When we use the term man, it means man in general. It means men and women. That means this: God made us with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Yes, sir. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God made man, body, soul, and spirit. We are made differently than any other creation earthly made. I have a body. Sometimes it's too much, but we all have that. And my body houses the rest of me. Then you have a soul. Your soul is that ability to communicate with other people. It's your personality. It's your intellect. It is that ability to communicate with others here on earth. But man also has a spirit. And that is our ability to communicate with God. Now watch this. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's just look at this and let me, if I follow my notes and not my stupid brain, we'll be in a good shape here. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 16. The Spirit, notice that's capital S. So that's the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, notice that's little s, that we are the children of God. Now, God gave us a body, God gave us a soul, then God also gave man a spirit. Listen to this statement. This is where our society and religion has destroyed Christianity. Your soul and your spirit are not the same. Man's spirit died with sin. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. All the way, first book of the Bible, second chapter of it. I want you to notice something. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse number 17. God says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Now notice something. He said, the day you eat of it, you will die. We know in chapter 3 that man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at verse number 8, chapter 3. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I have heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now look at me. Did Adam's body and Eve's body die the day they sinned? Yes or no? No, it did not. Did their soul die the day that they ate of it? No, it did not, because they're still able to communicate with each other. But God said, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. That's why in verse 17, and in the curse, he talks about, he shed blood and gave them coats of skin. He was teaching them the gospel with that. It would take the broken body and shed blood to cover their sin like it did to cover their bodies. They hid themselves with leaves in an apron. God gave them a coat of skin to cover them because it took the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. That's why in verse 17, he said that Jesus would crush the head of Satan, but it would bruise his heel. Adam and Eve had to get saved in the Garden of Eden so that they wouldn't die and go to hell. God gave them the gospel personally. Now watch this. I want you to notice something. But the Spirit died. That's why in John chapter 3, you have the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." And it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Look at John chapter 3. I'm not going to belabor this point, but it's vital that you understand this. John chapter 3, look at verse number 5. I've got a little bit of time here. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of Spirit," capital S, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now look at me. That word water means physical birth. When a child is born, what has to break first? The water. That is in reference to a physical birth. That's why God said that there is the water and the blood. A physical and a spiritual birth. Now look at verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh," the water, "is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit," capital S, "is spirit," that's man's spirit. Verse number 7. "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Remember Nicodemus said, "How can I be born when I'm old? Can I enter my mother's womb the second time and be born?" He said, "Mm-mm. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." We have to be born of the Spirit to be born again. And when a person gets saved, that opens the door for them to have a communication with God again. So the lost or the unsaved man cannot communicate with God, nor God with him, till he gets saved. You go a mile down the road to Pleasant View Cemetery where my mama's body's at, you can go in there. Can I tell you something? None of the people in those graves speak. I've said this before. I'll do your funeral, but if you get up or move or you talk in that box, I'm done. I'm out of there. I've spent a lot of time in funeral homes. They're creepy places. But if one of them puppies, there'll be an exit somewhere, whether it was there or not. I'm getting out. Dead people don't talk. Dead people don't hear. You can tell them all things you want, but they don't hear you. Dead people don't respond. I've been to funerals. I've watched young people get on top of the casket of a mom or a dad that died and they weren't right with before they died. And I watched a young man get on top of his dad's body one day and say, "Please, one more time, can I just talk to you?" Well, he could shake that body all he wanted, get on top of it all he wanted, but that body's not going to respond. It was dead. Guess what? When man's spirit is dead, it can't communicate with God. It has to be born again so it can communicate with God. That's why Adam and Eve had to be saved in order to continue. Because, by the way, it started a process of death for man's body. That was part of the curse. But they did not die that day physically. They died spiritually. Now, that's important. So, number one, God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Number two, man was made in God's image, body, soul, spirit. Look at me. Body is what houses everything. Soul is that which communicates, that's me communicating with you right now. But the Spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God.
Yes,
number three. I have to throw this in on purpose. Religion speaks only to man's body and soul. Religion speaks mainly to man's body and soul. Turn to James chapter 1. Right, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. James chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. James chapter 1, look at verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face, or his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his what?
Deed.
That means action. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Notice that religion had nothing to do with the traditions of men. Most religion, and I'm using that term as a general statement, speaks to man's personality. Well, why do you do what you do? Let me motivate you. Let me inspire you. That makes me want to vomit. Religion speaks to man's feelings and emotions. That's why religion is based on the traditions of men. Notice it says it's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he goes and does what he says, and he says, look how good I am, and leave and don't do anything. We go to church, we put our time in, we heard somebody say some words, we leave, and we're no different, but we think we're better because we went there. You can go to the garage all you want, but you're not going to become a mechanic. You can go watch them turn wrenches all you want, but until you start turning wrenches and asking questions and learning and making mistakes, you're not going to become a mechanic. Trust me. I watched one of the best wrench turners in the world my whole life, and I still can't turn wrenches like that. You don't want me working on your car. Trust me. Religion speaks to man's personality. It speaks to man's body. That's why all the charities for let's feed the poor and you've done your job. Well, you can feed the poor all you want, but if you don't give them the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell. They're going to go to hell with a full stomach. What good is that? I'm for feeding poor people, but let's give them the gospel and let's make sure they're going to heaven, whether they have food or not. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. Personality preaching, you know, the Joel Olsteins and people like that, the health and wealth people and all these, well, you've got to have the right motive. You shouldn't go to church unless you go for the right motive. Good night. I'll take anybody that shows up. I'll preach to the jerk in the pew because at least if the jerk in the pew is there, God's got a chance of getting hold of his heart. I don't care what the motivation is. Well, that young man only came to church to find a good wife. Well, that's a good place to go find one. Maybe while he's there, God will get a hold of his heart and he'll become a good husband in the process. Everybody doing all right? Yeah, buddy. Religion speaks to man's body to care for the poor, to care for himself. This health and wealth kind of preaching that goes on today. Religion speaks to man's intellect, education. Let's fill your notebooks with pretty outlines, and let's speak with pretty outlines, and let me show you how, impress you how intelligent I am. No hope, don't worry about it. I don't speak in pretty outlines. I use God outlines instead of man's outlines. I don't try to be, could I do those things? Yes, and I'm not against it, but sometimes the average church becomes a college class instead of church. God wants preaching to the soul and spirit, not just to entice you with man's words and to impress you. Man's religion is just that. Man's way to tell God how God must accept him because he makes himself look good because of it. Our traditions are to make us look good to God so that hopefully we can merit our way to heaven. Guess what? Wrong answer. Did you ever notice how Jesus talked to the religious people of his day? You whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. You bunch of vipers. He called them a bunch of snakes and graves full of dead men's bones. That doesn't sound like he was real pleasant and kind, does it? It was the religious people that crucified him, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees. They're the ones that took him to the government and said, look, he's guilty of treason. You gotta kill him. But it was the religious crowd that took him to the government to have him crucified. Now, turn to Jude. That is right before the one page before the book of Revelation. The last book of the Bible. It'd be the next to last book of the Bible. Jude. It's only one chapter. Generally, it's only one page. Might cover two pages depending on where it hits yours like it does mine. But Jude, look at verse number 11. Now watch this. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of who? Cain. Huh, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, for a reward perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now watch this, that was gone in the way of Cain. What did Cain do? Remember in Genesis chapter 5, Cain and Abel? Abel brought a sacrifice that was a blood sacrifice that God required. Cain said, I'm not going to do that, I'm a tiller of the ground. He went out and brought the best of his crops in. And God said, Cain, I don't have respect for your sacrifice. I'm requiring a blood sacrifice. It was in reference to salvation. And Cain said, too bad, God. This is what I have. This is mine. I'm not going to sell it to my brother to get a blood sacrifice. Accept what I have or don't do it. And God said, Cain, I love you so much. There's a sin offering lying at the door. If you just open the door, it'll leap into your arms and I'll accept it. Reminds me of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Cain said, don't want it. And God said, I don't have respect. And God marked Cain, and Cain left a marked man and a cursed man till the day he died. You say, why? Because his religion said, this is what I can offer you. I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. That's much what religion is today. This is the best I have. Can I tell you something? Sometimes our best isn't good enough. We need to do it God's way, not our way. Yes, sir. Yeah. So God says, no, don't go in the way of Cain. So we said, number one, God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Number two, man is body, soul, and spirit. Number three, religion speaks mainly to the body and to the soul or the personality of man. Number four, are you ready? How then do we learn the Bible God's way? How then do we learn the Bible God's way? Now remember, the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, is truth. Correct? Go back to John chapter 16 where we started. And now you can understand what we read and I'll show you how this works. John chapter 16. I love this. I'm about to shout because some of you are going to, the light bulb is going to click on for the first time. Verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you. Huh? What's the key word there? Say words, the words of God, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, look at me, who is that? That's the Holy Spirit, right? When the Holy Spirit is come, when you get saved, he will guide you in all truth. look at me for a moment. Where is all truth? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Too many S's in there, sorry. Got my tongue tangled around my eye teeth. Couldn't see what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. He doesn't speak in a feeling. He doesn't speak in a tingle. He doesn't speak in some unknown language. You can read all the unknown languages you want, but if you don't understand it, what good was trying to say those words? God says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What is he hearing? The words of God. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, that's God. For you shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Can I tell you something? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you want to learn what God has for you? The Holy Spirit will teach it to you as you read it from his word. And as you yield to him and say, I need help, guide me, and God will guide you in the scriptures to find what you need. Sometimes you call the preacher and ask him a question. Great, no problem. But notice John chapter 16, he is the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of feeling, not the Spirit of tradition, not the Spirit of religion. He is the Spirit of truth. I mentioned a book a little while ago that the cult has been sending out to people. You say, preacher, how do you know it's a cult? Because it goes against the Word of God. The Spirit of truth reveals that. You see error by knowing what truth is. You don't study error to find out what error is. You study truth and error reveals itself. So, look at John chapter 17, one chapter over. I love this. John chapter 17, look at verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What's the next statement? Thy word is truth. Wow. So the Spirit of truth shows us what truth is by the word of truth, which is the words of God. Or which are the words of God. When we read the Bible and yield to the Spirit, he will guide us in truth. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit cannot guide you outside of the confines of that book right there. Can't do it. Because then he would be violating the words of God. That's why religion, when it says, well, you gotta fall on the floor and flop around and jibber jabber in an unknown tongue, that's not in the scriptures. That's not being guided in the scripture. Well, you got to follow all these traditions. Can I tell you something? According to Colossians chapter 2, all of the things that were tradition of the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus, he fulfilled them, and all of those things were nailed to the cross. The holy days, the feasts, all of the Levitical priesthood, and all those things, they were nailed to the cross. He resurrected as our high priest, and he instituted the church 3 years before to tell us that. So, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit cannot work outside of that book. I hear people say from time to time, well, the Holy Spirit was leading me to do this. I always say, where in the Bible does it say that? Well, I just had this feeling. Oh. Well, it was the Spirit leading me. Brother Josh, can you turn that down one? My voice is going again. The Holy Spirit does not work by a feeling. He works by truth. He doesn't work by I thought I saw my mother's ghost. I had a vision in the night. No, you had bad pizza before you went to bed. Folks, when somebody dies, they die. Their spirit does not come back. It's either in heaven or hell, according to the scriptures. There's no in between, and they don't come back and talk to you. Ooh, if that's the case, you have a problem. Trust me. You can trust the Bible. It is God's words. You don't have to trust a feeling. I've had feelings that didn't turn out quite right, didn't you? Jesus did not come to conceal the Bible. He came to fulfill the Bible. He didn't come to hide it. He came to fulfill it because he is the Word of God. You have to understand, these are not mysteries. The preacher is not here to unlock mysteries of the Scriptures. Do you know what was hidden in the Scriptures? When it talks about the mystery of the gospel, yeah, it was Jesus hiding salvation from the devil because he needed the devil to kill him at Calvary. The Bible says, had Satan known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The amazing thing is how many people got saved before Calvary with the gospel that was hidden from the devil himself. Because when Jesus was crucified by the devil, Judas Iscariot, who was Satan incarnate at the moment, can I tell you something? God used Satan to give us the gospel. I call it the biggest sucker punch in history. He's the one that caused man to fall, but God used him to kill Jesus to pay our sin debt and give us salvation paid in full. Boy, can you imagine that twisted the devil's tail pretty good and hard. Whereas Brother Fugit would say that twisted his whiskers. See, God needed Satan to kill Jesus, but he had to hide the gospel because had Satan known what the gospel really was, he wouldn't have killed Jesus. I love it. I love it. I love it. Every time Jesus says it is written or it's scripture, only added authority to the scripture. John 1:2-14, Ephesians 6:17, et cetera, et cetera. We went through that last week. We need to get saved so that we have a spirit that can understand the scriptures. When you go soul winning, I tell people all the time, use simple things because lost people don't understand the Bible. I don't use big words. I don't start talking about justification and sanctification and glorification and all these other big long words that are in the scripture. You say, why? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. They can understand that. Once they get that, there's things they cannot bear, but as they grow as a Christian and grow in the Lord, as a child matures, they can handle more and more information. And even when they become teenagers, there's still a lot of growing to do. Then they get to be young adults. There's even more learning to do. My daughter and son-in-law, they're going through it right now. Bought a house. Boy, they were all excited. They find out things break down after you buy houses. Trucks break down, transmissions go out, there's projects that need done they didn't know needed done, and you know, life gets a little overwhelming. And I love saying, yeah, mom and dad makes it look easy, don't we? Yeah, it's not quite that easy. Yep, got lots of years of making those mistakes. You know, the only thing harder than parenting teenagers is parenting adult children. Adult children have adult problems. Those are a little bit more serious. They cost more. So, first of all, for somebody to really understand the scripture, lost people are right. They don't have a way of understanding it because they have a dead spirit. Once the spirit gets born in them and the spirit indwells them by salvation, then he can guide you in all truth. And he will answer you by truth. And he won't work outside of it. I believe every Christian ought to read their Bible every day. I'm not telling you how much. Doesn't matter how much. You ought to read it every day. I think there are some things in there you ought to memorize to help you. But I think you ought to hear it preached clearly so it pricks your mind, pricks your conscience, pricks your heart, allows the Holy Spirit to say, I need that. I better go read some more. Then you really learn it. Brother Josh had no idea what I was preaching tonight, but as he prayed before the service, he said he enjoys church so much. Part of it is he gets to teach Sunday school. As you teach somebody else something, you really learn it. You learn by teaching. That's what soul winning's all about. You're going out telling others about Jesus Christ. You wonder if you're saved, go out and go soul winning. You'll get real excited about getting saved. And you live it and you relive it and you bring people to church and you teach them and you teach your children and you teach your family and you teach your friends. I'm all the time texting my preacher friends, hey, I got a truth. Let me share it. Boom. Man, it goes around the country, man. We're building on that thing. I build a lot of sermons based off of truth like that and a couple comments here, there, everywhere, put it together. And boy, we're having fun with this thing. I teach truth to my friends. I teach truth to my staff. There's a lot of times I'll be working in the office and say, Brother Josh, come here, I got to share something with you. It's just burning a hole in me. Boy, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it for a few minutes. I love it. Can I tell you something? If you start teaching it to some, by the way, isn't it amazing? We'll teach everything else in our homes but the Bible. How about we just teach the Bible sometimes? Not just the stories, but the stories are important, but the truth that goes with it. Teach them how to apply it to their life. If any man be a hearer and not a doer of the word, God wants us to be a doer of the word, not a hearer of the word. Only. This is true biblical spirituality and how you learn the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When man gets saved, we get saved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves inside of us. It regenerates our spirit, regenes, regeneticizes. We get the eternal genetics of God in us and the Holy Spirit living in us. And it is our spirit that communicates with his spirit, who's in tune with God and the Word of God, that guides us in the Word of God to teach us the Word of God. You want to learn how to learn the Bible? You just heard it. It's very simple here in John chapter 16. You'll learn it by the Spirit of truth. It's a lot of teaching. I just covered an awful lot of territory, but I promise you, if you will learn to say, Holy Spirit, as I read the Bible, teach me what I need today. What do I need? As you start reading the Bible, there's going to things start jumping off the page. And you're going to say, wow, didn't see that. And then he'll say, do you remember this over here? And do you remember this over here? Isn't that what John chapter 14, I believe, verse 26 is all about? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I say unto thee. While I'm reading the Bible, all of a sudden, I've read it so many times, I hear a word, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's over here, and that's over here, and that's over here, and that's over here. And boy, I just start putting things together, and I start having time in my office. You say, why? Because that's the Holy Spirit bringing something to remembrance as I need it. And that's how he works, through his word, and that's how you learn the Bible. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. There's not a certain reading plan. I'm not saying you can't find a reading plan for the Bible, but if we just saturate ourselves with truth, you would be surprised as we yield to the Spirit how the Bible could come alive to us.